Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture today is from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one.
Have you noticed that each Sunday we've been reading the same scripture, but from a different translation? Do you like that? Is it helpful as you try to understand what these texts might be teaching us? Is it helpful to hear some of the different translations? Because really we're looking, I mean, all these from our, you know, Matthew 6, right? And it's the New Testament, which was originally written in Greek. And if you are someone who is bilingual or multilingual, you may know that very often in languages, there's not a direct translation for some things. And so sometimes for me as a Bible study tool, it's really helpful to have different translations. I really like the Good News translation. The church I was at in Grand Island, Nebraska, that was the preferred version from that senior pastor. After I came back here to San Diego, I made friends with a gentleman who, well, I called him Gunny. He's been promoted since then, but he was a gunnery sergeant in the Marines. And he gave me this Bible that was one that he would hand out. He worked at MCRD at the time. This Bible, that's the Good News translation. That's the Armed Services version, the E-100 Military Edition. It's written in the Good News translation. And so that's the translation that we read today. I'd like to ask you a question. You can respond just by raising of hands if you feel comfortable, right? Because it's a bit of a personal question. But over the course of these several weeks, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. And you may recall that last week, one of the things I said is that early Christians would pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. One of the things I said last week is that our Muslim friends pray five times a day. And maybe these are things that we might learn from. Now, I'm not expecting that you all are going to pray three or five times a day. I wonder if it would make a difference. I wonder if we all might consider that. I think that I need to consider it. In fact, I already am. But my question is, as we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, as we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer, how many of you find yourselves saying it more often? I wonder if you might consider, this might be our response to the word, Pastor Leah. I wonder if you might consider taking on the challenge of saying the Lord's Prayer every day. Maybe that would be in the morning. Maybe that would be in the evening. You might even want to change it up. I heard somewhere about somebody who prays part of the Lord's Prayer in the beginning of the day, part in the middle, and part at the end. And the part they pray in the beginning of the day, lead me not into temptation. And the part they pray at the end of the day, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do you see how those are, even though they're out of order, do you see how the beginning of the day and the end of the day, that might have some meaning? I would like to invite you. Again, I'm not stepping on your toes for the response to the word after this, but I want to invite you to take on praying the Lord's Prayer on a more frequent basis. Now, here's another question that I might have for you. This exploration that we've been taking of the Lord's Prayer, has it changed the way you think of it? Show me your hand if it has helped you see the Lord's Prayer, experience the Lord's Prayer in a different way. That's a good thing. You know, one of the things that I think we've learned in this pandemic is the one thing that is always the same is that everything changes. And so as we grow, as we learn new things, we might understand that everything changes, and that includes us. I believe that we change, and hopefully we change for the better. Hopefully we grow. We grow in our spirituality and our connection with God, and I think that's a good thing. In fact, I think we must change and grow in our connection with our Creator, our God, the Holy Spirit, our Christ who saves us. I think that we must change. And that change must not only be internal, but it must be expressed externally. Now, as we've been journeying through the Lord's Prayer, last week, you recall, we talked about forgiveness. And so the next line in the prayer that Anne just read for us is about temptation. Now, I would suggest to you that there is not a person in this room who does not experience temptation. I think that we all experience temptation. And if friends, maybe this sounds harsh, but if you think you don't experience temptation, maybe we have some re-examining to do. Even Jesus experienced temptation. I tell you what, I don't think I'm better than Jesus. And so I know. I know not only because I try to be authentic in my self-reflection, but also just thinking about Jesus. I'm not better than him, and if he experienced it, I've got to experience it too. Now, sometimes my temptations are, you know, something that's not a real big deal, right? Sour Patch Kids. Maybe there's some candy that you love. Yeah, Cora says yes. Do you like Sour Patch Kids, Cora? All right, good. All right. We'll share some sometime. Is that okay? I like to share. All right, good. But maybe it's not candy or, you know, my favorite Italian food's lasagna. You know, come on. But maybe it's not something like that. Maybe it's something more, something deeper. Maybe it's a struggle related to, you know, relationships. Maybe it's a struggle related to laziness. Maybe it's a struggle related to wanting to keep and receive as much as we can. Maybe it's about wanting to be the center of attention. That's one I wrestle with. I love to be the center of attention. And part of that, you know, I can sort of say, well, I'm an extrovert, and that's what we do, right? I like to be the center of attention, and I wrestle with that. I submit that we all experience some kind of temptation. And I suggest that the temptations that we feel might be circumstantial, and they might be deeply connected with who we are at our core. I think about what it is that Jesus was tempted by. See, he'd been out in the desert for 40 days, a long time. And maybe it was an actual 40 days, maybe it was a metaphorical 40 days. He was in the desert, he was in the wilderness a long time. And maybe you think about a tempter showing up in some sort of human form. Like, I don't think it was the comic book version of evil that shows up, right? With the little horns on the head and the pitchfork. Maybe it was a physical form that showed up, and maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But can you imagine being in the wilderness, not having eaten for 40 days, and everything you see around as you look around is rocks? But I tell you, if I haven't eaten for a long time, and maybe I look at something that's sort of the shape of a nice loaf of bread, maybe I might see it that way. And that little voice, maybe that little voice that shows up, you could turn that into bread. It'd be easy. God loves you. God works in you. God's your father. God doesn't want you to be hungry. It looks like bread already. It's not a big change. Just change that rock into bread. Satisfy your hunger. You deserve it. You've earned it. You know what's coming. You know you got to walk around and teach and preach. And you know some people are going to get pretty upset with you about it. You know that you're going to get betrayed and arrested and tortured and executed. You deserve a little bread. You see how insidious that temptation shows up? pushing all the right buttons. Maybe it shows up that way for you because it does for me. Maybe it was even that voice that said, imagine the influence you would have if people knew you turned those rocks into bread. They would believe in you. Isn't that what you want? All right, well, maybe that temptation doesn't work, but I'll tell you what. Let me tell you how to get people to believe in you. You see, you take yourself to the highest place and you throw yourself off because Scripture says that if you do, the angels will collect you and save you. And what will happen when the people see that? They'll believe in you. They'll follow you. Because Scripture says. Maybe with everything that's coming, maybe you don't even want to face that. You know who can save you from it? I can. You don't have to die on a cross. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Just do that. It's a little thing, really. It's not important. And I can save you. Do you see that progression of temptation? Do you see how insidious and damaging and terrible it is? And sure, Jesus resisted that temptation. But let's ask ourselves the hard question. Could we? Our news agencies tell us about the increasing use of opioids. I've heard stories from more than one person who were legitimately injured and were prescribed a medicine that helped until it didn't. There was that temptation for more and more and more. And I wonder if some of those same words show up for those folks. It's just a little bit. It's not a big deal. I deserve it. Listen, I got this big thing coming up. Maybe it'll be okay. And sure, there are folks who absolutely abuse, and I'm not trying to say that's okay. I'm saying that temptation shows up. And it challenges us, and it pushes all of our buttons. And it tells us the things that we want to hear. And maybe for us, we feel like it shows up in some sort of human form, person form. Maybe it's the voice of someone who maybe isn't the voice we ought to listen to. And maybe it's that voice in the back of our own head. It says, you deserve it. And maybe it's okay. But how do we resist that kind of temptation? First of all, I want to be really clear that I don't think that it's God that leads us into temptation. And I know that that's the way we often say the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In 2019, Pope Francis made a proclamation that some folks have found a little bit difficult to hear. Pope Francis says, listen, maybe we could say, let us not fall into temptation. It's something like that. I have it on my phone over there, but I didn't bring it up. Let us not fall into temptation. Pastor Adam Hamilton at Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, he says maybe there's just a little bit of punctuation that's missing. You see, in Greek, there weren't commas in Greek. So Hamilton puts a comma after lead us and after temptation so that it goes like this, lead us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't believe that God leads us into temptation. The book of James reminds us in the first chapter that God doesn't tempt us. But we are tempted. Whether we're tempted by evil or an evil one, we experience temptation. And we ask, if we pray this on a regular basis, we ask to be delivered from that temptation. We ask to be delivered from evil. And for me, the way to resist that is to follow that simple yet difficult phrase that's throughout the New Testament. I would argue throughout our entire Bible. Focus on heavenly things instead of earthly things. Turn to God and not to yourself. And maybe one way to do that is to pray this prayer on a regular basis. Now, maybe that's not enough. For me, it's not. I got to do more. I've got to actively listen for the voice of God. I've got to actively speak to God and say and name and confess what I'm wrestling with. Maybe you do too. And there are a lot of ways to do that. You know, one of the ways that I most deeply connect with God? In music. I most deeply connect with God in music, in melodies and harmonies and lyrics. I don't know if you know this about me. I don't know if I've talked about this. But when I was in seminary, back in Claremont, when I was in seminary, my focus, my particular focus in seminary, I got an award for worship preaching in the arts. But really what I studied was the theology of secular music. Now that's what they call it. I sort of wrestle with the word secular. But in other words, the theology found in the music that's not in Christian churches and on Christian radio. And I want to tell you what I think about that. See, I believe that God is still speaking. I believe that God inspires songwriters even if they're not writing a song for church. But not only that, you see, I don't think God is only restrained to the song creation process. I think God inspires us as we listen to music on how we might receive a song, on how we might hear those lyrics and experience those melodies and those harmonies. Maybe you're one who experiences spirituality through the harmonies of Gregorian chant. That's great. Maybe you're one who experiences God as we sing about a thousand tongues raising glory to God. Maybe you're one who experiences God as we confess in song God's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Maybe you're one who experiences God in more contemporary music, wanting to live in the light as He is in the light. Hearing stories about arks and floods by jars of clay, or stories of Lazarus being raised in a song called, I think it's called Wake Up Dead Man. Oh, I'm sorry, Wake Up Dead Man is by U2, the Irish rock band, who, aside from some language, like if you go looking for that song, there's some language right in the beginning, and yet it's a profound prayer naming Jesus and asking for forgiveness and salvation. The very first track, on an album by Van Halen with their, at the time, new singer Sammy Hagar, is overtly about faith. A popular song when I was in Nebraska was released by Lady Gaga, talking about someone that she knew from the state of Nebraska, this deep and affectionate love. You know, there's a line in that song that says, there's three men I'm going to follow my whole life. She names this guy Nebraska. So when she lists these three people that she's going to follow her whole life, Nebraska and my daddy and Jesus Christ. Does that sound like a Lady Gaga lyric to you? I saw one person nod their head. I agree. Maybe you like Katy Perry, who writes a song called Unconditional. that talks about unconditional love. Do you see, my friends, how we can hear God speaking to us today? Maybe it's through classic hymns on an organ. Maybe it's in some different ways. There's a song that was released in 1986 that reminded us to live into prayer. It's a story about two people who are struggling, who are wrestling. A story about two people who have no hope. A story about people, thank you, Leah, who are desperate. And although it's not overt in the lyrics, I wonder if they might wrestle with temptation about how to just get by, about how to survive. It's a song that claims that they're just living on a prayer. But what does that mean to live on a prayer? Does it mean to take a minute and focus on your God and your Creator? Does it mean to take a minute and hear God's speaking and God's guidance? Does it mean that we're not alone? Tommy used to work on the docks. The union's been on strike. He's down on his luck. It's tough. So tough. Gina works a diner all day, working for a man. She brings home her pay for love. For love. She says we gotta hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. We got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot, oh, halfway there. Living on a prayer, take my hand. Make it, I swear, yeah. Living on a prayer. Tommy's got a six-string in hawk. Now he's holding in what he used to make it talk. It's tough. So tough. Gina dreams of running away. She cries in the night, Tommy whispers, baby, it's okay. Someday, he says we gotta hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. We got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot, whoa. Halfway there, living on a prayer. Take my hand, make it, I swear, yeah. Living on a prayer, living on a prayer. What would it look like if we lived our lives on a prayer? What would it look like if we spent our time and our energy looking and focusing on God in all that we do? Conversely, what would it look like if we didn't? What would it look like if we cut God out of those hardest times in our lives when we feel the most tempted? That lost song you may have recognized was called Living on a Prayer by the band Bon Jovi. Released in 1986, released once again in 1994 in an acoustic setting, which is what I sort of modeled in this case. There's a song written in 1964. that reminds us of the danger of silence. That reminds us that if we don't engage, if we isolate, that that can be damaging to us. It's even described as a cancer. It was released within the last few years by a metal band called Disturbed in a powerful rendition. The song is by Paul Simon. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, beneath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. And no one dare disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silence raindrops fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning, and the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls, and whisper in the sounds of silence. Whether that song is one that brings you beautiful memories or difficult memories, it is a song that we might hear today that reminds us of the power of connecting with our God, and that silence and disconnection from God can damage us. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. We might hear God afresh and in God be relieved from temptation. Amen.
As a response to this proclamation and to hearing God's word this morning, I would offer two possibilities. One, if you want to take Pastor Bob up on his challenge to pray the Lord's Prayer every day or a few times a day, I would suggest setting a reminder to yourselves to do so. Just write it on your calendar if you use a paper calendar, or set it in your phone, set an alarm or a calendar reminder in your phone as a cue
to do it, you know? Just give yourself a little trigger. The other possibility is to listen all week to the words around you, whether in song or in speech, in the news, whatever audio you consume this week, listen for God. You don't need to schedule a reminder for that, but either way. And if you do one of these, if you take one of these on this week and it makes a difference for you, I hope you'll let us know.